All right, so the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at faith. And in looking at faith, we've been learning about faith from the book of Hebrews mostly. We've been looking at Hebrews chapter 11 and looking at some very specific verses in there. But we've been looking at those verses through the truth and through the example that we see from the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're continuing on talking about the Shunammite woman. Those of you that have been part of our, we've had a Bible study for like almost 6 years. It took us 4 years. We started in the book of Luke. It took us 4 years just to get through the book of Luke. So, you know, we can kind of be precise. And I think I've been pretty good over the 2 years I've been here. I'm moving pretty fast. But we're a little bit slow going through the Shunammite woman, and it's going to be a couple more weeks until we do that. But we're at verse number 24, and we'll look at that again in just a couple of minutes. But to give you a background on the story, so we're all on the same page. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we have the story of the Shunammite woman, and this is a woman that demonstrated her faith and her faithfulness to God by demonstrating that faithfulness to the man of God, Elijah. And so whenever Elijah would come through Shunem, she would compel him to eat. And she eventually got to the place where she had her husband actually build a room onto their house where he would have a room to stay with a bed and a table and a lamp. So she was taking care of the man of God. And Elijah at one point said to his servant, "What can we do for this woman because of her faithfulness?" And he said to this woman who did not have a child, "In the season to come, you're going to have a son." And so, season came, she had a son. The story goes on, the son grows. And when the son is old enough, it says he went out to the fields one day where his father was, and he complained of his head. He said, "My head, my head." And so the father sends him back home to the mother, and he dies in the mother's arms. Well, the mother, the Shunammite woman, this is the example. All of the rest of the story, which is where we were heading, all the rest of the story is just the example of her faith, of what faith is, how hope builds up into faith. And we see that what she eventually did, we haven't gotten there yet, but we see as the story goes on, she goes from Shunem to Mount Carmel to the man of God. She grabs hold of his leg. She's grabbing hold of the promises, and she will not let go. Her faith will not let go until she sees her promise restored. And Elijah comes back, lays on the boy, brings him back to life, and hands the boy the promise back to the mother, alive once again. So that's the story that we're looking at. Now, one of the principles that we've learned so far, and this is a key principle with faith, one of the key principles is faith must be accompanied by action. And we've just begun to see the Shunammite woman putting some of that action to her faith. We've just begun to see her start to do these things. And one of the things that we saw her do is she took the body of her son and she laid her son's body on the bed of the man of God. So in so doing, here's a test for you that we're here the last 2 weeks. In so doing, who is now responsible for the promise being restored to the woman? God is, through the man of God. And so this is what we've been learning about. Faith must be accompanied by action. And then we saw that she closed the door. She laid her son's body in the room and she shut the door. So we saw that we need to shut the door. She shut the door on her problem. She moved forward in faith. She didn't share her problem with other people who were not operating in faith. And she only spoke, the only word she spoke was what faith vision, she knew through faith vision. She only spoke the words that despite appearances, what did she say? "It is well." That's a faith statement. So this is what we've gone through. Now, obviously in the last weeks, we've gone through the more than that. I would really encourage you, if you have missed some of these weeks, go back to our website. These messages are all called From Hope to Faith. But then there's four messages that precede that that kind of build on it because hope is the first step. So we had four messages that are all called Biblical Hope is Not the World's Hope. I'm not telling you to go back and read those out of vanity. I'm really not. One of the great things about being a small body, like we're still small, one of the great things about this moment in time in this body is we can grow together on the same foundations. We can have those basic foundations as we build up together. So if you've missed some of those, go back. The website is cityonahilltc.org and view those things. All right, so let's go to verse number 24. So that's where we left. Verse number 24. We're going to look at a lot of verses today. I'm just telling you, this is the only verse we're going to get to with the Shunammite woman. Now it all ties around her, but we're not going to get to it. We're going to focus on just this verse. So in this verse, we saw that she was leaving her problem behind, and she was moving forward in faith. Verse number 24 from 2 Kings chapter 4 says, "Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, 'Drive, go forward, do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you.'" So the last thought that I left you with last week as your cliffhanger, the last thing that I left you with was this reality. Once you start to put action to your faith, you have to move forward in faith deliberately. Once you put action to your faith, you've got to move forward. You can't hesitate. You can't slacken your pace. The longer that you linger on the problems that you have, the more difficult it's going to be to maintain your faith and to maintain your faith vision for those unseen promises. The slower that your pace is in moving forward in faith, the slower your pace, the more difficult it's going to be to maintain your faith. It's not because it's any more difficult for Jesus to do anything. He's already done everything. However, the natural realities that our eyes see cause us. It erodes the confidence that we have in those unseen things. Don't hesitate. Move with alacrity. Once you start to put action to your faith, be deliberate and keep moving forward in your faith. We have to keep on moving forward at all times. Let me give you an example. If my bank account tells me that I'm broke, but I'm believing for God to supernaturally meet my needs, if I'm believing in faith for that, every time I go back to those bank statements and I look at that bank account, those statements are telling me something different than what I'm believing for in faith. So don't keep going back and looking. Move forward in faith. Don't look backwards. And here's an important thing. Don't look for the things of the natural realm to confirm the things of the spiritual realm. The things of the natural realm are not designed. In fact, they are not able, now stay with me, they're not able to confirm the things of the spiritual realm. Now, when you are believing in faith and standing in faith, the natural circumstances will eventually line up. They will line up with the Word of God. If I keep standing in faith, and I keep standing on the Word, even if this is what I'm believing for, and this is the natural reality, if I keep standing on the Word in faith, eventually these things will line up, and the natural circumstances will line up with the things I'm believing for. But you can't use the things of the natural world to confirm or to verify. Can you understand the difference of what I'm saying? There's a woman that I know that she had MS. And she used to always say to me, "I'm always looking forward. Coming up in 2 weeks, I have another x-ray. Or 2 weeks, there's another scan." She was always looking forward to the next x-ray or the next scan. Because she said, "When I see that next x-ray, it's going to say, I'm going to see the lesions are gone on my body. Then I will know." And I kept saying to her, you can't use the things of the natural to confirm or to verify what you know in faith. You just have to know it in faith. See, can you see the difference in what I'm talking about? See, if you're saying that I will know I'm healed when I see the verification from the x-rays or the scans, what you're saying is, I'm not operating in faith. You're putting your hope that somehow the things of the natural world are going to confirm what faith tells you. There's a difference. So, we continue to move forward in faith in all things. Continue to move forward. Let's go back to verse number 24. In verse number 24, we see that she is just beginning to put her problems behind her and move forward in faith as she is going to the man of God to lay hold of the promise that's hers. So that's where she's headed. Now, this is a true journey of faith. This is not an easy journey that she's taking. This is a long journey, and it's an arduous journey. Tony, if I can get that slide. I want you guys to see this slide because there's a Google map, and I want you to see how far it is from where she's at to where she's going. See, this is Shunan. Can you guys see this okay? There's probably, Sarah, Christian, can you guys see this at all? Trust me, it's a long distance. It's 20 miles. So if we pull back a little bit, Tony, there's Shunan. Pull back a little bit further because I want you to see how far it is in the nation of Israel. Here's Shunan. Here's Mount Carmel. Now, if you come over here, you're going to see that just over here a little bit, that's where the Jordan Valley is. So you have Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, the Jordan River. Here's Shunan, and then all the rest of the way. This is the border of Israel. Here's the border on the other side is the border of the Mediterranean Sea. You almost got from one end to the other. There's like more than 20 miles from Shunan to Mount Carmel. Now think about this. The Bible story tells us that her son died at noon. Now there's a time element that took place. She had to send someone out to the fields to get her husband, bring her husband back so that she can say to her husband, get me a servant and have him saddle a donkey for me. That took time too. Then after that, donkeys are not thoroughbreds. She's not moving very fast. Even though she said don't slacken the pace, she's not moving very fast. Best case scenario, it's taken her 4 or 5 hours to get from Shunan to Mount Carmel. Now think about this. Put yourself in her place. Because she could have easily given up. Think about 5 hours. She's alone with her thoughts and her own fears for 5 hours. How many times during those 5 hours do you suppose she said to herself, what are you doing? This is crazy. He's dead. Go back and deal with it. 5 hours she had to be doing that. But her faith had action with resolve. We need to put action with our faith, but we need to have resolve that goes along with it as well. She was not willing to give up on the promises that she had. Now, last week when we first started talking about faith with action, probably some of you thought, because if you're thinking about the things that you're believing for in faith, probably some of you thought, okay, well, I want to put action to my faith, but sometimes there's not an obvious action that you can put with what you're believing for. I know that after church, Don and I were talking to Ed and Diane Sitter, and we were talking about that. Because we were saying, well, okay, in this circumstance, if I'm believing for this, there's no obvious action I can put to that faith. You guys understand that? This is what I want to talk about today. And this is why I'm only looking at that one verse. Because there's a lot of times that we do, when we're trying to put action to our faith, there's a lot of times that there's just no obvious action to put to it. And that's what I want us to see. I want us to learn this morning what actions we can always put to our faith so that our faith has action. Now, this is a really good time because I want to take a break and just make this one point because this is a critical point to understand. So we're not just getting off into religious exercises. It's critical to understand that it's not enough. I'm talking about putting action to your faith, but it's not enough to just take action. You have to believe. I mean, you have to actually have faith and apply faith. You can't just take action and say, well, the Word of God says faith without action is dead. So I'm doing what the Word of God says, and I'm taking some action. So now God has to do what I want Him to do because I'm taking action. That's not the way that it works. You have to actually believe. You have to actually have faith. But faith has actions. Action is the demonstration. It's the tangible demonstrations of the faith that is already in you. The faith of believing. Are we clear on that? Because if we do anything else, then it really is. If we're just taking actions and not having faith and not believing, you're just going through a ritual. You're just going through a religious exercise. So it's faith, but faith always demonstrates actions. And sometimes we have faith, but we just don't know what kind of actions to put. We feel the faith. We want to put action to it, but we don't know what actions to put to it. That's what I want to look at this morning. And so that's why I want to focus on that. So think about the things that you're believing for. Sometimes there are, it's just not obvious what actions I can take that go in line with what I'm believing for. So what do we do in those cases? What is it you're believing for? Is there an obvious action that you can put to it? Sometimes there is. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it's really obvious. Like, for example, if you're believing for healing, well, there's obvious actions that you can take if you're believing Jesus Christ for healing. If I'm believing for healing and I have faith and I know that His Word says that by His stripes I'm healed, I believe it, I can put action to it. I can try to do something that my body couldn't do before. That's putting action. It's an obvious way to put action to your faith. When we see the story of Jesus talking to the man that had the withered hand, Jesus spoke healing to him. Faith demands an action. So for that man, every part of his logical mind had to say, I've never been able to move this hand. It's withered. Every part of his logical mind said, there's nothing that you can do that's going to make. Why even bother trying to stretch out your hand? But faith demands an action. And so because he heard the words of Jesus, and he had faith. He put action to his faith, and he tried to do something that he could never do before. Somewhere he had to say, I'm going to try to stretch out my hand. And in just putting action to it and trying to stretch out his hand, that's when his hand was restored. So sometimes it's easy to see things. If you're believing, let's look at finances. If you're believing for finances, if you're believing that God's going to take care of your finances, if in faith you know that God's word is true and you believe that for your finances, there's an action you can take. Start giving money to people that you need money. Because if your faith vision has already seen the promise and you know that it's true, that's an action you can take because you're not worried about it. Because you know God's got it taken care of. I can feel free to start giving money to people that I see have needs. It's an obvious action that you can take. Donna and I know a person that is in a job, but believing for a different job. Believing in faith, knowing that God has a different job for them. So what they're doing is, because they know that soon they're not going to be there, they're starting to take things out of the office, taking personal items and things out of the office. Not all at once, but just take it. Because you know that you're going to be, since she knows that she's going to be moving out there anyway, faith action is, let's start getting ready for it. Let's start moving the things now. So there's some things that are really obvious. That we can, actions we can take to apply to our faith. Are you guys all with me? You are almost uncomfortably quiet this morning. There's other areas that it's not quite so obvious. And these are the areas that it's kind of hard for us to focus on. And these are the things I'm going to talk about this morning. For example, it's not obvious how we can take action to stand in faith as we're believing for something for somebody else. Donna and I know a couple. They are struggling with life. They claim to be Christians, but they are just struggling. Now, Donna and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know, we pray for them. We know that God has a plan to meet all of their needs and for their deliverance. But every word that comes out of their mouth is doubt and defeat. What action can we take? What's the action we can take to put to our faith believing that God has met their needs? Here's another one. What kind of action do you put if you're believing for somebody else's salvation? What kind of action can you put to that faith? If you're believing and you know that someone, you're believing for their salvation, what are you going to do? Walk up to them and say, look, I'm believing for your salvation, that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. So I got to put some action in my faith. So I'm going to send you there now. I mean, that's not a good action. Some things it's not just obvious what kind of action we can take to go along with our faith. So this is what I really want us to focus on. This is all like introduction is 20 minutes after. These are the things I want us to focus on. Does it sound like this will be helpful to you in your faith walk? I'm telling you, it will be helpful in your faith walk. It will be. Here's the first action that you can take. When there's no other obvious actions that you can take to apply to your faith, here's one that you can take. And this is the most important one. You're going to hear and you're going to say, really? But stay with me, because this is the most important action that you can take. Speak it. Speak what you're believing. Speaking is an action. If you're looking for some action to put to your faith, if you're believing for something, start speaking it. Speaking is an action. We saw this last week with the Shunammite woman. She spoke to her husband. She said to her husband, I'm going, but I'm coming back. And she saw herself coming back in victory. And because she saw herself coming back in victory, that's the words that she spoke. Speaking is in action. Now, sometimes there's not an obvious action to put to what you're believing for in faith. But do not minimize the power of speaking. Don't minimize the power of the action of speaking words of faith. Because there is a creative power in spoken words. Everything that God created, all of creation, He spoke into existence. The power of life and death is in the tongue, according to Proverbs. When you speak the things that faith vision sees, that is a powerful faith action. Speak the promises that are in the Word of God. Speak these promises over your life. When you speak the promises of the Word of God, you're enforcing the things that Jesus Christ has already done by your very words of faith. Speaking is action. We're looking for ways to put action. Faith without action is dead. We're looking for ways that we can put action to the faith that we have. Speaking is action. And there's a supernatural power that goes with your words of faith spoken. So consider what you're saying. There's another element of this speaking as an action of faith. And we're going to talk about it later, maybe next week, maybe the week after. But I just want to touch on it today. It's praise and worship. Okay, I was talking this morning about praise and worship. Praise and worship. If you want to put action to your faith in a powerful way, man, start praising Him now before you even see the things done. That is a powerful way to put action to your faith. We do these songs of praise and worship. I don't know about you, but throughout the week, some of these songs that we sang throughout the week, they're going to come back to my mind. They do. And here's what I do. This happens to me a lot. It happens a lot in the car. I don't know why it's only in the car. But if I'm believing for something, a song will come back to my mind. I'll start singing that song. But very quickly, because I don't remember the lyrics, very quickly the lyrics start changing and I start putting in the words that I'm believing in faith to that song. Faith. It's the passion of praise in song. Speak. There's a powerful action in speaking, but there's a powerful action in the passion of the praise that we have when we are singing and praising Him. The faith that's inside of you wants to come out and play. The faith that is inside of you wants to come out. Passion. Passionate praise brings that praise forth. So, here's your first thing. If you forget everything else this week, this is an obvious action that you can apply to your faith. Whatever you're believing for, you have no idea how to put action to it. Speak and praise Him. And sing songs of praise. You know, sometimes you feel, which I don't know why you feel silly. I remember the first time I started singing in the car, I felt silly. It's like, well, there's no one else here except Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit's here. It's just me and the Holy Spirit. Why am I embarrassed by this? It's a great opportunity to put action to what you're believing for in faith. Amen. All right, so here's the second action that you can take. An element of speaking, which is faith action, is speaking with authority. See, it's not enough to just speak words over your situation. You've got to speak words in authority. You've got to know the authority that you have in Jesus Christ. You've got to speak words in authority, believing that you are speaking with the authority of Jesus Christ. Speak authority. Speak in authority over your situation. Command that which is in this natural realm. Command the things of this natural realm to line up with the promises of the Word of God. I was going to say, somebody should have said amen right there. So I'm thanking you that. Thank you that Chris was on that. When Jesus was providing, well, let me say this. If you think that it's a small thing, what I just said to you, if you think it's a small thing to speak with authority, if you just think it's a small little thing, you know what? You're at odds with Jesus. Because this is, Jesus considered this concept, Jesus considered understanding this spiritual concept to be the greatest example of faith that He witnessed in Israel. Stop and think about that. We're talking about speaking with the authority of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say this again so that it's in your mind. Jesus considered this. He considered understanding this spiritual concept of speaking with authority to be the greatest example of faith that he witnessed in Israel. That's a pretty strong statement. Let's go look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. It says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I've not found such great faith even in Israel. You speak, you as a New Testament, as a new covenant believer, you speak with the authority of Jesus Christ. Everything that you say, when you speak words that line up with his words, you are speaking in the authority of Jesus' name. There's power in the things that we say. There's authority in the things. So if you're looking for some kind of action to put to your faith, speak. Speak in authority. Speak with that power. All right, so here's the third thing. Here's the third action you can take. I love this one. I believe that the Holy Spirit is always ready to show you an action that you can apply to your faith. If you ask the Holy Spirit, he will present to you, he will show you an action to put to your faith. How do I know this? Okay, follow me. That means you got to pay attention for the next just couple of minutes. When Jesus was living on this earth and doing miracles, Jesus knew that faith was involved. Faith had to be involved on those who were receiving. The people who would receive had to have faith action involved. Faith without action is dead. So when there was no faith in operation and thus no action to the faith, the Bible tells us where there was no faith, Jesus could do no miracles. So for the supernatural to occur, somebody has to be operating in faith and putting action to their faith. Now this is why we see Jesus is continually, you see this again and again and again, Jesus is always putting people in the position to utilize their faith. He's always putting them in the position, and he's putting them in the position to put action to their faith. And he's giving them specific actions that they can do to apply to their faith. We see Jesus do this all the time. If you look in the example, turn to John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, this is the story. We see that Jesus is passing by a man born blind. And as he's passing by, the disciples ask him about this man. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus is passing by the man. And the man, there is no expression of faith by this man born blind. There's nothing compelling this blind man to push his way forward and receive his healing in Jesus, like we see in so many others. You don't see that at all in the story in John chapter 9. In fact, what you see is you see the man who's blind not looking or expecting any healing, and you see Jesus walking past him until the disciples ask about the man. So here's what it says. This is chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Watch what transpires. When he had said these things, Jesus, he spat on the ground, he made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? So let me ask you, do you think this is like the heavenly secret formula for how to heal blind eyes? Is spitting in dirt and putting it on and making him go? Is that some kind of a... No, of course not. Because we don't see Jesus doing that with every single person who was blind. And we don't see Jesus making that same request. But there's a reason that Jesus did this. Because Jesus, throughout the Gospels, he knows that people have to operate in faith. And he's continually putting people in the position to operate in faith. And he's giving them some action they can take to operate, action they can put to apply to their faith. This is what Jesus does. This is what he's doing here. This is what we see with him. So is there something spiritual about the dirt? Of course not. Is there something spiritual about the Pool of Siloam? Should we send everybody who's blind to the Pool of Siloam? No. Of course not. There's nothing mystical about the dirt or the Pool of Siloam. We have to remember and recognize that this is a man who is not operating in faith. This is a man who's he's not coming to Jesus in faith, believing for his healing. He's not operating in any kind of faith. And yet, Jesus knows there has to be some faith action on the part of the person who is to receive. And what we see Jesus doing, Jesus is giving this man a very specific faith action. If this man will believe and put that action or put that faith into action, he's going to receive. And he did. Now, let me tell you something. For that man, that took faith. For that blind man to do what he did, that took faith. It was not easy to walk with mud on your eyes and walk through town all the way to the center of town to the Pool of Siloam and wash in a very public place. That took faith. At any point in a while, if he was not believing, he would have taken a few steps, stumbled in his blindness, and said, well, this isn't working. Why am I making a fool of myself walking all the way back into town with mud on my face, aimlessly walking, trying to find the Pool of Siloam? It took faith to do what he did. Jesus gave him a specific faith action so that he could put action to his faith. We see this time and time again throughout the Gospels. Jesus knows and understands that for anyone who's going to receive a miracle, they have to demonstrate their faith. And so Jesus is always giving people opportunities to act on their faith. This is who Jesus is. He gave people the opportunity to act on their faith, and he gave them very specific actions that they could take. Will he do anything less for you? This is why I say to you, here's a faith action. Ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always ready to show you an action that you can take to apply to what you're believing for in faith. Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll show you just the same way that Jesus did throughout the Gospels. Okay, this is giving me trouble again. If it pops off, I apologize. Look at it this way. At least if this thing comes off my ear like it did last week, that's a wardrobe malfunction that we can all live with. I've heard plenty of pastors. Look, I've been around enough pastors. Every pastor, I have no story for this yet. But I'm amazed. Every pastor has some kind of a story about being up with a zipper down. So I have none of those yet. But so if this is the worst thing that happens, I'm okay with that. All right, so here's the fourth action that we can take. And then Donna's going to edit that part from. She'll be talking to you later about that, Tony. This is the fourth action. And this is an action that you might not think of because this is an action that doesn't apply or doesn't tie directly to what you're believing for in faith. And so we don't tend to think of it as an action that is applicable. But this is a faith action. It's the action of forgiveness. Oh, that's good. I really expected that was going to fall flat. I really expected that nobody was going to respond to that at all. And I was going to tell you, but let's look at what Jesus says about this. Because in Mark chapter 11, Jesus is talking about the very thing that we're discussing. He's talking about faith having action through speaking. And this is what he says. This is Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 23. And we're also going to look at 25. But verses 23 through 23 say, So Jesus answered and said to him, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Jesus is telling you, here's faith action that you can take. Speak to your mountain. Speak to your problem. So again, we see that speaking is an action. So that's what Jesus is saying. Then in verse number 24, he still carries on that theme. He's talking about if you believe, as you believe, you just continue to pray as you believe. I forget what it says, but it ties into the whole thing. Now, look down at verse number 25, because Jesus just got talking about the power of speaking and what you say. And he just used that great example of speaking to your mountain. He used that great example of the power of speaking with words of faith. And then the first word of verse number 25. Notice the first word. It's and. And is a word that ties one thing to another. So and is tying the previous premise, the previous principle, the principle of faith action of speaking. He's tying the principle of faith action to his very next statement, which is about forgiveness. In verse number 25, y'all staying with me? Does that make sense? All right, so verse number 25, it says, I'm just going to read the first part of it. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Don't underestimate the importance of the action of forgiveness, because Jesus is tying faith action to forgiveness. He's tying them together. If you're looking for some action that you can take to put to your faith, here's a great one. Look and see who it is in your life that maybe you could offer some forgiveness to, because forgiveness is an action. Here's our fifth one, our fifth action we can take. And this one is much like the previous one in that you wouldn't necessarily think about it because it doesn't actually or precisely tie to the problem or the issue that you're believing for. We always like in our minds to keep it nice and tidy. And if I have something I'm believing for in faith, I want to have an action that I can tie right to that. Well, I've already given you a speaking. You can do that. You can speak with authority. You can speak with praise and worship. And I've given you all of those things. But we don't tend to think sometimes of the things that are still faith action, but they're not necessarily tied to that which you're believing for. But it still is an action of faith. And this next premise is like that, but it clear, the Bible makes it clear, this is an action of faith. This is from Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6. And I'm going to show this to you from the Amplified Bible. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6. So go past the Gospels, go past Acts, go past Romans, then you get to those minor ones there. Galatians is the first one. All you care about is Galatians for right now. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6. It says this in the Amplified Bible. For if we, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but here you go, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. There's a direct tie between faith action and, what does he say? There's a direct tie between faith action and operating in his love. If you want an action to put to your faith what you're believing for, start loving. What is it that activates and energizes our faith? Or let's reword that. What is it that gives faith action? And what is it that gives faith that which it needs to accompany it? Action that's required. Clearly, your faith, fully expressing the love of Jesus Christ for others, is a faith action. It's an action that you can apply to whatever you're believing for. It's kind of like, isn't there in cards, like a wild card? You know, you can just make it whatever you want. This is kind of like your faith action wild card. You can apply it to whatever you want. It doesn't have to tie directly to whatever it is you believe in for. But it's a way that you can put action to your faith. Expressing, fully expressing the love of Jesus Christ for others is a way of saying, I'm operating, I'm putting action to my faith. I'm believing for this, and I'm operating in love. Listen, there's plenty of people around you in your life today that could really benefit from the full expressions of God's love through you. It's faith action for us. I'm going to wind it up with this. Finally, just move ahead. Just the action of moving forward believing for the things that you can't even see. Moving forward as though what you're believing for is already done. Faith moves forward. We see that with the Shunammite woman, and we'll see this again next week as we really focus more on the Shunammite woman. But we'll see this with the Shunammite woman who we already have. She's always moving forward in faith. Faith moves forward. Move forward in your faith. Just believe that what's done. Act like you believe what you're believing for is already done. Act like it. That's moving forward in faith. Move forward in faith. And always look with faith's vision. Always be looking forward. Don't look back. Don't look behind you. Faith moves forward and looks forward. Looking forward is an action. It's the action of looking forward and making sure you're not looking backward. Because, and it says this, we'll look at this in Hebrews. It says this in Hebrews chapter 11. If you look backwards, it gives you the temptation. It causes you to be tempted to return to what you left behind. That's why faith moves forward. So, next week we're going to talk about the Shunammite woman some more. But does that help you guys understand that when faith requires action, but it can't just be action. You've got to believe it. You've got to actually have faith that you're applying to it. And when you can't find, when there's no obvious action to take for whatever you're believing for, here are principles. Here are five actions that you can take and you can apply to what you're believing for in faith. Amen? Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you that it's true. We just thank you that everything that we've read from your word today, all those different verses, I believe that those just come alive into our very hearts and our minds. And it's not just concepts and principles that we talk about, and it's not just something that we write notes on today and we forget about later. Holy Spirit, bring these truths back to our remembrance throughout the week, again and again and again, so that they are established in our very souls, and we believe it. And we are ones because we believe in faith, because we have that faith. We demonstrate that faith with our actions in every area of our life. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right, we're going to pray in a few minutes. Let's stand up and praise and worship as we close off this morning.